That's because the breath you would bring up from your lungs would not have any alcohol in it yet, even though the breath in your mouth might. Because the alcohol content of air in your lungs accurately reflects the alcohol content in the bloodstream, law enforcement officers can use this information to know whether or not to take the keys from a driver who seems to be intoxicated. This moment of science comes from Indiana University. There are hundreds more moments of science on our website at amomentofscience.org, where you can also view videos and sign up for podcasts. That address again is amomentofscience.org. For A Moment of Science, I'm Yael Cassander.
Support for today's broadcast comes from Community Blood Services of Illinois, providing all donated blood for patients in Champaign-Urbana, Charleston-Mattoon, Danville, and Effingham. There are no substitutes for donated blood. Blood donation takes 45 minutes and saves lives. Information at 367-2202 or on the web at bloodservices.org.
It's 2:41 Central Time. In sports, the BCS Championship is tonight. It's a classic matchup between two old-school Southern programs, Alabama and Texas. Alabama is considered the favorite after crushing Florida to get to the title game. Texas edged Nebraska by 1 point to win the Big 12 title game. Among games on the college hardwood tonight, the Illinois women are in Bloomington, Indiana to take on the Hoosiers. St. Louis Cardinals pitcher Adam Wainwright says he's disappointed that Mark McGwire hasn't made the Hall of Fame. Wainwright said at the Missouri Governor's annual prayer breakfast this morning, the home run hitter, who broke Roger Maris's record in 1998, helped revive fan interest in baseball. Davis Payne is still looking for his first win as interim coach of the St. Louis Blues. The Blues continue their road trip tonight against the Anaheim Ducks. And red-hot Marian Hossa and the Chicago Blackhawks are in Boston to play the Bruins tonight. Hossa has scored two goals in each of his last two games, and the Blackhawks have won four straight. That's sports.
Today's broadcast is funded in part by a grant from the Illinois Arts Council, a state agency.
A Mexican community in Los Angeles has been hurting in this recession for decades. Mariachi Plaza has been the place where musicians hang out. Customers come to hire the bands right on the spot. But those customers are having a tough time, and now some of the mariachis are trying their luck online. Corey Takahashi reports.
When the musicians of Mariachi Plaza have no customers to perform for, they'll stroll the sidewalks and find ways of entertaining themselves. The plaza is surrounded by Mexican restaurants, music stores, and budget housing, an entire mariachi infrastructure crammed within a couple blocks. But the mariachis say the main thing missing is work. Some are only getting one-third of the gigs they were a few years ago. A mariachi named Luis Molina says the plaza is a buyer's market, but customers should be careful.
Most people just trust them, you know, they trust them by the way they talk, by the way they look, and that's about it.
He says some bogus mariachis just learn a handful of songs, then pass themselves off as pros.
Giving the people the wrong image of mariachi. Mariachi is more than just knowing a couple songs. We're decent people, and we carry this culture throughout generations.
Mariachi Plaza is facing economic forces from outside of the community, too.
The next stop is Mariachi Plaza Station.
In November, L.A. opened a new metro train route that connects the once-isolated plaza to downtown. Janet Favela, an organizer with the East L.A. Community Corporation, says new investment in this area has raised rents and brought more scrutiny to its many street vendors. Favela says the mariachis could be a target of quality of life campaigns.
It's been okay. So far, they've been here for at least 20, 30 years. But, like, will it continue to be okay?
Luis Molina still stops by the plaza. But like a small but growing number of mariachis, he's also devised a web strategy to book gigs.
The way that I do it is I go through the internet, but they're all price shoppers, and that's when, instead of helping, the technology of the internet is actually not helping so much in that sense, where I have to lower so much the prices.
Vanessa Canchola discovered Molina's band, Mariachi Estrella, on the web. She works as an assistant at the manufacturing company, LA Lighting. She was trying to find entertainment for recent company parties.
I just went to Google and I searched mariachi and I seen Mariachi Estrella.
Because, there's a Mariachi Plaza in Los Angeles, and some people go there. What would turn you off to that or make you choose the internet versus like picking up a mariachi on the street?
Because I don't know anything about mariachi, so I just went to the internet and the internet helped me. I didn't even know what you just said about the plaza. I didn't even know that.
She didn't take the traditional route, but she got traditional results. Molina and his bandmates arrive in black chato outfits, greet the audience of factory workers, then fill this warehouse in suburban El Monte with music and dance from Mexico. Today's gig may have started on the web, but some things will always be better back in the real world. For NPR News, I'm Corey Takahashi.
It's 2:46. A winter storm warning for blowing and drifting snow continues for Ford, Iroquois, and Livingston counties until 9 a.m. tomorrow morning. A winter weather advisory for blowing snow is in effect for the rest of the WILL severe weather coverage area, including Champaign, Christian, Clark, Coles, Cumberland, DeWitt, Douglas, Edgar, Logan, Macon, McLean, Moultrie, Piatt, Sangamon, Shelby, and Vermilion counties until 6 a.m. tomorrow morning. The winter weather warning that had been in effect for much of our severe weather coverage area has been canceled. However, a warning for blowing and drifting snow continues for Ford, Iroquois, and Livingston counties until 9 o'clock tomorrow morning. There's a lot of talk about conserving energy, but many homeowners aren't taking advantage of the tax credits being offered to tighten up their homes. Many are more intrigued about solar panels and generating their own power. Amory Lovins is an inventor, author, and the chief scientist at the Rocky Mountain Institute. Lester Graham talked with him about conserving energy at home.
When I talk to some of my friends about energy consumption, they immediately jump to installing backyard wind turbines or solar panels, just getting off the grid. And I always ask, well, have you added insulation to your attic? It seems some of us are really into those gee whiz aspects of renewables, but we tend to overlook conservation. That's something you've stressed. Why?
Well, efficiency, which I use instead of conservation because it unambiguously means doing more with less, is faster, cheaper, easier than any kind of supply. Look, if you can't keep your bathtub full of hot water because it keeps running down the drain, the first thing you do is get a plug before you go looking for a bigger water heater. Then when you get a water heater, it'll be a lot smaller and cheaper and work better. So efficiency first is a wonderful adage. Most people live in houses with a square yard of holes in them. Of course, if you live in a sieve, it's hard to stay warm. So first, you start with stuff like weather stripping and caulk, and if you can, you get a house doctor to come do a house call with diagnostic equipment and diagnose your house's chills and fevers. But even in our house, which is one of the most efficient in the world, we still need to do the blower door testing and the caulking every few years because with changes in humidity, the wood works in and out, and you have to renew this stuff occasionally. But the benefits are huge.
How far can we really go in saving energy at home?
If you're really conscientious about it, most people can save around half to two-thirds of their energy. That's partly by draft-proofing insulation and perhaps, although they're often costlier, window improvements. I'm sitting under some windows now that insulate like 14 sheets of glass but look like two and cost less than three. Then also it means that whenever you get lights or appliances, you get the most efficient you can. So after some years, you've turned over the stock, and if you're ever going to buy an appliance, go to ACEEE.org. The American Council for an Energy Efficient Economy posts there a list of all the most energy efficient appliances. Of course, at a minimum, you should always get Energy Star. That knocks the worst stuff off the market. But within Energy Star category, there is quite a lot of variation, and it's worth shopping for the best ones.
What about the upfront costs of new appliances, new windows, new furnaces, things like that?
For many kinds of appliances, there isn't even any correlation between efficiency and price. But if there is, it's probably still a very good deal, a much better return than you can get in any other form of investment and with much less risk. Think of it as money very well spent. And, of course, if you have first done the really cheap stuff like stopping up that square yard of holes in your house so the wind doesn't whistle through, that saves you so much up front that it helps pay for everything else. The whole package is really quite an enticing return.
Amory Lovins consults on energy issues, and he's the chairman of the Rocky Mountain Institute. Thanks for your time.
Thank you.
John Oliver is known as the senior British correspondent on The Daily Show. Soon he will be known for a new show. NPR's Madeline Brand talked with Oliver about the new show by beginning the interview with this clip.
3.5 years I've lived here. I work hard, relatively speaking, for someone who does this for a living. I pay my taxes. I try to fit in. I've learnt your rudimentary language. I don't know what more you can reasonably expect me to do. And that's when it hit me. I know why I'm so angry. I know what this is. Taxation without representation.
That's John Oliver opening his new show, John Oliver's New York stand-up show. So you have some deep anger there about not being able to vote in America, even though you've been here for a very, very long time.
Yeah, I think anger is a very well-chosen word. Resentment, a sense of complete injustice, all of that. I mean, yeah, I understand that people laughed when I paused during that piece of spoken word, but they were wrong to do so. That was a very... very sincerely meant from the heart sentiments.
Well, do you even have a green card?
Yeah, I do now. Thank you. Now you sound like a US immigration officer. Actually, I do. As of just at the end of last year, I finally now have a green card. So, yes, I do. And I still don't get to vote.
Well, what do you plan to do about it?
Well, I'm in the process of getting a very elaborate red coat stitched up, and then I will get my musket dusted and polished off, and then I'm taking this country back. You leave me no other choice.
So you're actually going to be an anti-Tea Partier?
Yeah, 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 absolutely. Those Tea Party people don't know what's it. They've had it too easy all the last 12 months. The British are coming. We'll show you what tyranny really is.
Well, why are you so eager to become an American, or at least to vote or to be part of our ways?
It's not so much that I'm eager to be American as I'm eager for you to be British once more. I still see this as very much our land. No, I love it here. That is the truth. And so I want to stay. So I was very anxious to get a green card because life on a visa can be perilous.
Yeah. Well, how did you get here in the first place? Because you have only been here for 3 years. And yet here you are on The Daily Show. And it's, you know, it's not some small, tiny club in a small town. This is the big time for a comedian.
It's the big times within the times of basic cable. Yeah, you're right. But no, I was working and writing in England, and then I got offered this job. I hadn't been to America before, so it was very strange. It was my favourite show as I was in England, so coming here the first day was very, very strange.
You can watch The Daily Show in England?
Yeah, I watched it online, and now it's also on in England.
Really?
Yeah, we have televisions there too.
Shocking. So you've been working on The Daily Show since 2006, and you do a lot of these sketches where you go out on assignment and play the straight man and ask ridiculous questions of people. Do all of them know that you're a comedian and kind of poking fun?
They know what the show is, and I guess when you sit down opposite someone, you often do have something at the back of your mind thinking, why are you here? Why are you doing this? If you know the show, why are you doing this? And the truth is, they just want to be on TV. That is the great Achilles heel that we're able to kick every time. People want to be on TV. Politicians, it might be like a gamble or something. They know that we have a viewership who actually vote. So I guess it's a control gamble the whole time. They know the show, though.
It didn't seem like that when you interviewed the Swiss UN ambassador recently on the show.
Okay. That's possibly true.
When you sat down with this ambassador,
yes,
and you started you know, making fun of Swiss neutrality. Mm-hmm. And
yeah.
But then towards the end, it gets really sticky and uncomfortable, not only for him, but for the viewers. And you can hear some uncomfortable laughter in the audience. Well, let's hear that.
So easy to take a position on neutrality, hard to take a position on Hitler.
We did take strong positions on Hitler and many other things. We just didn't participate in the war. That's two different things.
Would it be possible for me to keep my gold here? Ah, Adolf, of course. Lovely to see you again. Come back in. What have you been up to? Actually, don't tell me. I want to be able to say I don't know.
At that point, were you going for the humor or were you going for something else?
Yeah, I'm always going for the joke. It's a comedy show, so that is the most, that is the priority. And yet you also want to try and get, especially with where you have interesting opportunities like sitting down with Ambassador, you want those jokes to illuminate something. And so the discussion you're referring to was really about neutrality during the Second World War and whether that is appropriate. Whether neutral, and you have to give him credit that he stands by it. You know, it's an all-in process. Neutrality, you go for it, and then it is self-interest to its logical conclusion.
You probably get this question 100 times, but is there a big difference between British and American humor? Do you think?
No, not really. No, that's the quickest way to answer that. The longest way is that I guess there are similar reference points, or you know, reference points have to change in a minor way, but. So much of comedy is cross-cultural between the UK and the US. We get each other's stand-up comedians a lot and each other's comedy shows. So it isn't that much different. The only real difference in live comedy is alcohol level, which is significantly higher in the UK. Significantly higher.
On the part of the performers or the audience?
Well, both, but especially the audience.
Yeah. So is it a lot more raucous?
Yes. It is. It's a lot more raucous. There's a lot. People really have come for a dialogue when they go to a stand-up show in the UK. They say, yeah, I understand that you have now finished your little comic monologue. Now I have something to say regarding what I've just heard.
Maybe that's why you like the US better.
Could be it. The US is, surprisingly, more polite.
Well, John Oliver, thank you very much.
Yes, yeah, welcome. It's a pleasure.
John Oliver spoke with NPR's Madeline Brand about his new show on Comedy Central. It will air on Friday nights at 10 p.m. Central Time.
Earth and Sky.
Every winter, people in North America are encouraged to go outside and count birds for science. Earth Sky spoke with Thomas Bancroft, chief scientist with the Audubon Society, about what's known as the Christmas bird count.
Well, the Christmas